Guys, it's happening. We're doing a big swing state tour through the, it's 3 days. We're coming next week to Philly, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. It'll be the three of us plus basically not the whole cast of the Bulwark, but a ton of our Bulwark friends. We're going to be having a great time. We're doing shows. Get your tickets now. Tim, Sarah, tell the people.
Never Trump friends are welcome, of course. We're going to have, you know, George Conway, local Never Trumpers, you know, kind of reminding that 9% out there that we got to make it 9% that votes for Kamala Harris of sitting Republicans. But we're going to have fun. I can't wait to get out on the bus, get some sheets.
Yeah. Mm. You know, when people are when you have anxiety like this, right, when you're this close to the election, just it's going to make us all feel better to be together. Right. Mm. We're going to our Republican voters against Trump. We're getting on a bus. We're going to do a bus tour. We're traveling around Pennsylvania. And so we're going to stop there at the Bulwark events and we'll interview some of the Republican voters against Trump. We'll have, yeah, a lot of special guests, a lot of surprise guests. Going to be super fun. Come hang out. Let's all be together. Let's do this thing together. Bring it home.
I've never been to Detroit. I've been to like almost every big city in America except for Detroit. Oh, it's so weird. I've never been to the airport, but I've never actually been to Detroit.
Detroit Rock City. You're going to love it. Go to thebulwark.com/events. That's thebulwark.com/events. We'll also put a link to it in the bottom here. Guys, we'll see you there. The only way through is together.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Next Level. I'm JVL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. Guys, yesterday, Bob Woodward did it again, dropped some new reporting about Donald Trump and his big, beautiful relationship with Vladimir Putin. I can't tell whether I think the COVID tests sent to Russia with love for Vlad during the height of the pandemic is the best, because Vlad couldn't trust his own COVID tests, or if it's the fact that since leaving the White House, the former president of the United States has had a number of private conversations with the Russian dictator. Sarah?
It's the latter. The latter.
Oh, great. The former was worse for me. So make the pitch, Sarah. Yeah.
I think the idea that Donald Trump has been conducting shadow diplomacy as a fake president with our greatest geopolitical enemy is bad. The fact that he gave him COVID tests, I think, is like a short-term outrage thing, right? Like, it also, I gotta say, the part of it is that, and some of this we'll talk about the focus groups I was just doing in Nevada. I think that bringing up COVID is just not a great... I don't think anybody wants to go
as
back.
As a matter of strategy, yes. But I mean as a matter of actual personal moral outrage. Yeah.
Still think it is. I think if I was going to get mad about something, right, the COVID tests are looking backwards, even just forget strategically. The Trump's relationship with Putin and the fact that he has been, conducting fake diplomacy. And it's not diplomacy. They're just buddies. They're just dictator buddies.
If it was fake diplomacy, it would actually be better.
Yeah.
That doesn't appear to be what
right.
this
That's
is.
Like a nice term. It's just like him. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. He's probably giving him the nuclear secrets he was holding in his bathroom.
It's unbelievable, Tim.
Why would the COVID test be worse, Tim?
I guess it just angers me more. The idea that Trump and Putin are talking is also an outrage. You made a very compelling point that the former president should not be doing shadow diplomacy with our greatest geopolitical foe, but also one that is like that is actively attacking a democratic ally during the time of these conversations. If it was Marco Rubio or somebody like that, or another guy we'll be talking about at the end, if it was Dan Crenshaw that was having shadow conversations with Vladimir Putin, and the possibility was that he might be saying, Vlad, let's dial it back. Like, let's push it back. I'm about to give the green light to Biden to really start lighting you up with some new weaponry. If you know, that would still be bad and illegal, I think. Yeah.
They're active office holders, unlike Donald Trump.
Right. But like, this is... that is not what is happening here, right? Like, Donald Trump and Putin, the calls are not, him trying to encourage Putin to do the right
Trump
thing or dissuade
asking his
him.
Aides to leave the room?
Yeah, he has to leave
so
the
he
room.
Can talk to Vlad in private?
And the other thing is, like, the lack of pushback on this point. Like, Jason Miller's pushback in the article is like, I can't verify or deny. It's like, what? And, yeah. You know, that some aide was like up to 7. We also don't really know. 7 was just a number that some aide threw out there. Could be more. Could be less. Trump is just doing rogue diplomacy with Putin.
Again, I know I introduced the word diplomacy, yeah. But JVL's pointed out we should not call it diplomacy because that's not what it is. It's like, it's a complete fake and probably is it legal? Because Trump's just like a citizen now who used to have full security clearance.
Jimmy Carter used to do shadow diplomacy where he would like fly to some hot spot and talk, you know, basically unauthorized by the current president and try to like, you know, move the peace process along out of the goodness of his heart. That's not what this is.
Yeah, this
right?
is like espionage, maybe.
This is basically espionage. Right.
And is there money associated with it? Like, there's just all of these questions and possibilities. You just don't know. Or is it just like Trump just likes calling him because he just needs a little ego hit because he loves Pooty so much. He loves the strong, and he wants the big tough guy to be like, oh, Donald, you're doing so great. We're going to get you back in there. Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows what they could be talking about? But the COVID thing is just, for me, just more viscerally angry because of, like, thinking about the context of the moment where this was happening. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty still, right? It's not now. It's then. I know nobody wants to go back and put your head in that place. But it's like there was uncertainty about how bad it was, how much worse it was going to get, how many people were dying, how whether we had enough tests, whether we had enough PPE. Like, all of this, like, stuff was actively happening. And it was a massive scandal for politicians who were taking, you know, tests and PPE and giving them to, like, friends and family. Like, this was a scandal that waylaid, I was going to say Mark Lazary, his kid, Alex Lazary, in the Wisconsin Senate race. There are other examples of this. Trump was taking the tests not for Melania's mom or something, but, like, for Putin. He's sending the test to Putin to, like, what, suck up to him? At a moment where it's not like, what, not like two tests, you know, are the difference between life and death with people, but just like as a principle of the matter, like, given this the place that we are in, like, it is just, you can't even think about a scandal of another president. You know, it's like we're going back to Iran-Contra. Right? It's just like, what are you doing? Like, you're cutting a backroom deal with the bad guys during a deadly virus? Like, what?
He was doing this at the same time that he was telling Americans.
It's not that bad.
The virus is no big deal.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you inject yourself with some bleach or you take some of the ivermectin.
Go right away.
And it'll just, you know, you shine the lights on the abdomen and that just makes it all go away. And do you remember when he was like, I don't even think we should be doing more testing because I like the numbers where they are, right? If you don't test, you don't have any case. He's spinning all of this stuff for the actual citizens of America. But when it comes to his dictator friend, no, I know this stuff's bad. Yeah, here you go.
We want to make sure to keep you there. Also, by the way, just as a side point, the American president wants Putin to die. Just as a side point.
Should want Putin to die.
If the options are Putin dies of COVID or we send him tests to keep him alive. I'm not saying that we should have poisoned the COVID tests, but I'm just saying that, like, on balance,
the dictator who is, like, waging war on democratic allies.
Right.
It feels like
our
we
national
don't,
interests.
It feels like we don't need
Putin
to help him stay
power,
healthy.
One way or another. Yeah.
Right.
It is against America's national interests.
That's how
I want to push back on one thing, though. Yeah, go ahead.
I do think by splitting these up as, like, which one's worse, we're making a fundamental mistake.
It's true.
Because it's actually not about both of these things. And the fact that we know this. An aide leaked this to Bob Woodward, one of Trump's aides. That's the only way this gets out there, is that a Trump aide was so concerned because both of these things, they're part
or
of the
so
same
reckless.
Issue.
I'm going to say this could be Veep, not House of Cards. Or this could be Veep, not West Wing. I would say so reckless and careless, like he was bragging to Woodward or didn't realize it. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh,
not that, that it was...
That maybe
that
it wasn't
was,
an
like,
active concern.
Yeah, not it was he was throwing a flag on the boss, but that he was bragging about it. Anyway, we don't know. I just
you know
to
what? It's a
there.
Great point. But I guess the overall is just in totality, we understand a lot more about Trump's relationship with Putin, how close it is, how much they're back channeling. And that's why, you know, I go back to this moment where Putin endorsed Kamala Harris and how much it like reads like sort of a dumb joke between the two of them or like, well, like a strategy, right? Like, oh, I'm going to endorse Harris, throw him off the scent that we're great best pals. It is just he is good friends slash like wants to cuddle up with. Yeah. Are like somebody who is actively attacking and like in a hot war. This is insane. Like also, we're underreacting to how crazy
and
this is.
And I also want to throw to our neocon friends who keep falling back on the Iran side of this. It's like because there's some legit criticisms about how the Obama and Biden administration handled Iran and coddled Iran. And Kamala gives this answer on 60 Minutes, which is like cut weirdly, which is like the most interesting thing she said about how Iran might be our biggest foe right now. And all of the, you know, our friends in the Wall Street Journal commentary world is like, are very upset about this. Like it's, and again, there were some legitimate criticisms about how they handled Iran, but like Putin is funding Iran. Putin is fun.
Iran is selling them drones, hand over fist, and
giving weapons. You can't have both of these things.
Yes.
You can't be like the Democrats are really weak on Iran. Trump is really strong on Iran, but also Trump is back channeling and doing buddy buddy and doing everything possible to prop up the regime that is weaponizing and funding Iran. Like they just want to elide that. Like, that's not a real thing.
All right, very quickly before we move on. Yesterday in your little YouTube reaction video about this, Tim, Sam said something that immediately made me say, no, that's wrong.
Okay,
Can you imagine if people had found out about this in real time, the outrage, and it would have been this enormous scandal? And I just think, sure, for a day, like this is, I just think that this is a sign of how normalized we are, that even these stories about that came out in Woodward, they'll be gone in 36 hours. Nobody's going to remember them. And we are so desensitized to everything that I submit to you that even if this stuff had come out absolutely contemporaneously, like as the plane lands in Moscow, we find out from, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, that Trump has just done this, it wouldn't have hurt him. It would have been, you know, just 24 hours of, and then we'd all move on to the next thing.
We actually know that this is true because I don't know if you recall this, but Trump shipped a ton of PPE to China.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a bit of a scandal for like half a second. I remember us putting it in ads, trying to make it stick. Yeah. And it was just one of those things where like nailing jello to a wall, this guy, because it's so much.
Yeah. It's the depressing part about this. I talked to Carville about this today, even because as it is even today, like, you couldn't even in good conscience tell the Harris campaign it would be a good strategic move to like really focus on this, right?
Yeah, no.
Which is all crazy. Right, so we got some polling out of the New York Times yesterday, which suggested that up to 9% of Republican-ish voters are going to defect to Kamala Harris. What do you guys make of this? And of all of it. And Sarah, you had some focus group stuff you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Before I get to Sarah's focus group, can I just weigh in? Because Sarah's doing the RVAT work, so I'm interested in her take. Like, my short answer to this is, David Plouffe is not an idiot. Like, and the Kamala Harris team is very focused on talking to this 3%, this 9%. I called it 3% because Biden got 6. She wants more. And so it's real. Like, it's not a fake thing. They wouldn't be having events with Liz Cheney. They wouldn't be putting resources into the ads. They wouldn't. Kamala wouldn't be talking about how Iran is our biggest threat. Like, honestly, like, yeah. like it is clear that they strategically think this group matters. I agree. I think it's the area for growth, you know, for them. And I thought the Times poll, like, who knows, right? But it offered a very plausible global view of like what was happening with the electorate, right? Where like she is just doing even better than Biden among these high educated, older, former Republican types. She's losing ground with more working class types, particularly Hispanics. That's why you see, and particularly Cuban Hispanics. This is why you see the number in Florida being so bad, number in Pennsylvania good. There's another poll from Susquehanna out today that has that House race where Scott Perry losing, you know, and that's kind of into Sarah's territory of Pennsylvania, getting out of the suburbs, even into the exurby suburbs. So I to me, that is kind of where the race is, and they know it, and it's important.
Yeah, I was thrilled to see this number because Tim points out, like, we've got kind of a 6% threshold. Is like, we know that 6% is where you get enough of these sort of center right, soft GOP voters to tip in a state like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And if we can get to 9 or 10, and to Tim's point, in that Scott Perry district, in that Susquehanna poll, you know, and even looking at, like, Kamala Harris is drawing like 92 or 94% of all the Democratic votes. It might even be 96%. Like, yeah, she has consolidated. Trump's at like 80, right? Which means, and obviously I run a group called Republican Voters Against Trump that is basically focused only on this. How do you peel off these voters? And what's interesting, what we have sort of decided, so it's not an academic exercise for us. It's a, like, it's a real political exercise of where do you put money? And like, we are doubling down in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Like, that is where she's doing the best. I'd be interested, just real quick, if anybody has takes on what they think the storm is going to do to North Carolina from a voting standpoint, like how that shifts things. Because I think it might change the ballgame for North Carolina, which really was sort of the campaign's fallback. Like, it's their second path is built on North Carolina.
With Nevada.
That's right. Which I gotta say, I just came back from there and did a bunch of swing voting groups, and I would be more, I'm more worried about Nevada than I am Michigan or Wisconsin. But obviously, right now we are moving much more into the rural areas of Pennsylvania or the exurban areas of Pennsylvania for two reasons. One, holding down, that's where Trump, you know, puts as JVL calls them, these Saddam Hussein type numbers, right? And so can you hold them down at all? And number two, probably the way you're going to hold them down is with white working class women who are sort of surprisingly open to Kamala Harris after voting for Trump, in most cases twice, partially because of reproductive rights and partially because they still just think Trump is too much of a jerk. It's funny how much in the swing voting groups, even for people who are doing some backsliding towards Trump, how universally loathed he is, right? And there are, I think, is because I'll just say very quickly, in Nevada, there was the groups were very similar to swing voting groups we've been seeing just across the board, and we're doing a ton right now. And in just about every group, you get one or two people. So these are all people who voted for Trump in 16, Biden in 20. You'll get a couple people going back, one or two. It's like never, it's not five ever, but it's always like one or two people. Sometimes you get a clean sweep for Harris, but not mostly. And I always think, ooh, that erosion. I don't like that at all. Because you need to hold that anti-Trump coalition together. And if they're going back to Trump, because people are going to ask, okay, why? Why are they? It is always the economy. It is always the economy and or immigration, but mostly like they don't think that 4 years of Biden was good. And they are much. There's a reason that Trump wanted to seize on Kamala Harris's answer on The View about, oh, I don't really like what would I do differently than Joe Biden, or do I have any regrets or something? And she said no. And they really seized on that, because the answer that people give for why they would go back to Trump is often they're not happy with Biden's 4 years and they think Kamala would be more of the same. And so Donald Trump knows that. That's they're his team understands that the people who are coming back to him are people who are dissatisfied with the 4 years of Biden, primarily around the economy and immigration.
And they really loved 3 years of Trump. They thought 3 years of Trump were fantastic.
No,
it was amazing. Trump only had a 3-year term. That fourth year actually was with Biden.
But they voted against Trump then. That's what's interesting about these voters. They voted for Biden. And I'll tell you another thing that is an open question for me. I've got a million open questions that make it hard to pinpoint this race. But in Nevada, people talked about COVID more than I've heard than people talk about COVID in a long time. No one talks about COVID in the groups anymore. No one brings it up.
It hurt Nevada a lot because
it
of the casinos.
Did.
Yeah, because it's a tourist place.
If I'm looking a little punchy today, it's because I am so jet lagged because I just got back from several days in Vegas. Actually, and then I had to go to California for a day and do another thing. But I was in Vegas and we went and saw Garth Brooks.
Wow.
God. Yeah.
You and Judy Woodruff?
No,
saw Garth Brooks together?
Me and Judy did the focus groups together.
Oh.
No, my spouse and I went and saw Garth. Nice. I finally got her to come out there with me and hang out for a little bit. I won $500 at the blackjack table. Had a great time. But I am dragging today. Getting back on East Coast time's the worst. Anywho, so when I was out there, a few things jumped out at me about Nevada that makes it different. And I think when we do the polling, I think understanding state level differences is really important. So, you know, I've been struggling a lot with what's happening in Arizona, for example, because Carrie Lake's on the ballot. She's terrible. She's been rejected a number of times. So Ruben Gallego's been polling way ahead of her. They're going to have an abortion ballot initiative. And yet Trump is still, it's almost his best state out of the former states.
Hispanic men, the answer?
It's Hispanic men, and I think, but it also the border. It's just it's a border state. And I think understanding the how things happen in a border state. But the other thing that's happening in these West Coast, these West Coast states like Nevada is they're getting a big influx of people from California. And so somebody in the focus group said they're bringing California prices, but in Nevada, they don't have it's not like there's a new sector or industry that's coming that's pushing wages up. It's still the same tourism, hospitality, retail that has been the state's. And so it's got an enormous service sector, which is why the no taxes on tips is such a big deal. It's basically just a carve out policy for Nevada where tips are an enormous source of income for people. But if you have people coming in from California driving up housing prices and or cost of living in other ways that have made money in sectors where they can, you know, they've just got a lot more money, and you only have retail and hospitality, you are really feeling inflation. I mean, the economy was just so top of mind, and they really do continue to talk about COVID and how COVID was handled. And it got me thinking, and I just wanted to ask you guys a question. I have long been unsure about whether or not COVID was whether it hurt Trump or whether it helped Trump. Because I think that listening to the people who voted against Trump back in 2020 and are going back to him, one of their main drivers to vote against him was COVID. They just were like, I want out of this. This isn't going well. And they felt like he mishandled it. Yet they sort of want him back in part because of how they think Joe Biden has handled the border and the economy. And there's no more COVID crisis. At the time, I felt like COVID could have actually hurt Democrats more than people realized because people were so frustrated. They were down on the lockdowns. They didn't want any more masking. They were over it. But also, there's no doubt that that was something that people wanted to turn the page on. And so it may have ushered Trump out. Do you think the absence of COVID now? I think we forget that 2020 wasn't a normal election. It was in COVID, tons of changes to how people were voting, happened. I mean, I think if you have to go back through 2021, 2022 and look at all the bills that were passed around voting, you have to kind of disaggregate ones that were simply returning it to its normal pandemic, which is not voter suppression, versus attempts at actually locking down voting in new ways. But anyway, what do you guys think? Is COVID, how is that? Is there any impact?
Timothy?
I think that it's very clear that it hurt Trump in 2020, but less like the actual policies hurt Trump and just his and just craziness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like his crazy behavior at the press conferences and all that hurt him. Because most incumbents were helped by COVID around the world, and Trump was like an outlier. But I think that as time has gone on, and JVL's written about this, which is why I was deferring, it might be mass psychosis or whatever, but like people now reflect back on COVID and they do not look at the dead as the thing that was mishandled. They look at the fact that, you know, whatever, they had to wear masks is the thing that was mishandled. And I do think it's hurting, it's helping Republicans now. On the margins. I don't think it's obviously not the top issue in the election, but I do think in retrospect, it's helping Republicans among certain demo voters.
Yeah, I think it both hurt him and helped him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you think it's a wash. I think it was probably a wash.
Yeah, I think it hurts him with a bunch of voters who would have wanted competent handling. But I think it helped him, again, bringing out his non-traditional. I mean, he increased his raw number of votes.
Yeah.
From 2016 to 2020.
Just not his vote share. Yeah.
And he was able to, the crazy behavior and all that helped him find new voters that he couldn't have found if he had just been a normal person handling a crisis. Because those are the types of people who show up for the black helicopters and stuff, right? I mean, those are, he's finding.
Yeah. That was another funny
He's Woodward. Finding some very fine people.
That was another funny Woodward reveal with Lindsey Graham, like trying to tell Trump, being like, the people who think the earth is flat and that, I forget what we didn't land on the moon, you've got them. Okay, you've already got those people. Like, maybe start moving on to try to get to a different group. I enjoyed that hit from Lindsey Graham. Sarah, I had one more focus group question for you. Because the Arizona Senate number makes sense to me, actually. I just think it's very easy to understand why people would be for Ruben Gallego and Trump. It doesn't make sense to me personally, but I can imagine who that person is and what the demographic is. I can't possibly fathom why Jackie Rosen is winning by 12 points and Donald Trump is and the presidential race is tied. And so I don't know if you asked about the Senate race there, but
I
wonder if you have any insights into that.
Yeah, so here's my biggest insight, and it actually was like something that really jumped out in both groups. I asked about the Senate race. I'm not sure. People were like, I'm not following it. They had a million, like, they knew less about their local election than they did about the national race. They had strong opinions. And so I was like, and there was sort of some anti, like, I'm not sure they could have told me the name. I think she's up by as much as she is on name ID. Because I had two full groups
Sam Brown kind of thing.
Of people going like, ooh, I got to do some research. And I actually think it's going to end up being much closer.
As long as they go to the internet to do their research, it'll all turn out fine.
Well, I mean, it depends on what research, but yeah. It was interesting. In the second group, there was...
We are fucked. This whole country is fucked. It doesn't matter what happens in this election. In the long haul, with these people...
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Sebastian, cut that. That's all very bad.
The groups were... We keep them smaller because we were taping for a TV show. So we had seven people. And they both broke 5-2 for Kamala Harris. In the first group, there was one guy who kind of we couldn't pin down. So maybe 4-2.
Was he in the two or the five?
He was in the five, but then he kind of walked it back. And was like, no, I can't, decide. Yeah. And then he kind of bounced around. Like, he was one of these people who he was listening to the pro-Trump people talk and be like, you're making great points. And then he would listen to the anti-Trump people talk and be like, you're making great points too. I really don't know what to do.
I mean, this is a hand grenade and this is an apple. And I just can't. They both look so good.
Can I tell you, there was a guy.
You throw the hand grenade at someone you hate, though.
There was a really smart guy in the second group.
He was for Trump.
Yeah, he was. And he was Israeli. So he was like born in Israel. Yeah. And there almost was, there's, because
I'm
always
sure Trump would want to take away his right to vote. But anyway, that's another, it's a side point.
Well, I want to tell you what he said, because this was pretty interesting to me as like a psychological coping mechanism. But he was like actively, there was almost like a fight in the group over Israel and Hamas or Israel and Palestine, however, where one of the women talked about genocide and he got, you know, he was like, they were totally civil, but I had to shut it down because, like, obviously we could have gone off the rails and just talked about that. But anyway, the thing that he said that was so interesting was he said, I think Trump was really humbled by losing, and that
was
he'll
this
be
a smart guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Was this a smart? Was this smart guy Susan Collins in disguise?
You know what's funny is that the other guy.
Did he speak with a Maine accent?
No, he spoke with a slight Israeli accent. In fact, and he just—it's like he had to tell himself, in order to get there, that Trump was a changed man. And he talked about the assassination attempt and losing the 2020 election. And this is one of those people that I would love to sit down and like really push on, but like can't in this environment. And other people were, you know, going back and forth. And there is when the cameras are on a focus group as opposed to, I mean, obviously we do them on Zoom lots of other times, but like they knew they're in a studio, so it's just everyone's on a certain kind of behavior. Yeah. Including me, right? Like I'm just trying to give them space to say what I think. I'm not spending a lot of time. I don't fight with people ever, but sometimes I'll like poke around, you know, push back just to see, like, yeah, test people's theories on stuff. But anyway, it was interesting to me. And the other woman that was for him, she talked about how like he has temper tantrums and she hates that about him. You know, he'll be like a child, but. Then she really cared about reproductive rights. And there were one of the women in the group. There's another woman in the other group who was going to vote for him. And her number one issue was the environment.
Oh.
Well, it was like a very big issue for her. But then ultimately, I think it was because of the economy she was going to.
Because the economy is terrible right now.
Do you have a cocktail? I need
no,
a drink.
I actually did push back a little bit because she did. This is this is going to make JVL crazy. But it is an interesting
JVL.
It's an it'll make you, but this is particularly make JVL.
A woman that thinks Donald Trump is a toddler and cares about reproductive rights is planning to put we're going to lose our democracy because she's voting.
These
for
are
him?
Two different women. The environment was a different woman, but this woman, and then she was talking about the economy. But she was interesting. So at one point she started saying how like the economy isn't good because everywhere she goes, they're understaffed and they like need, there's jobs everywhere that are unfilled. And I sort
that
of,
makes the economy not good.
So I pushed back a little bit and I was like, well, isn't the fact that there are, you know, so many jobs available evidence that the economy is actually strong? And she was very much like, no, nobody's working in these jobs. And it is a good example, I think, of how people perceive the economy in a way that has nothing to do with like they don't understand economic indicators. Like,
that's fine. I'm going to say it, JP. He cut this earlier. We're fucked. This country is fucked. Oh my God. Can I tell you while we're just doing this, the brief aside, my focus group? You guys know I like to watch TikTok at night because I can't sleep anymore. And I've become addicted to like SEC football tailgate TikToks where a guy goes around to these boys and are like, who are you voting for, Trump or Kamala? And it's and like just the cheer and the excitement and kind of just the lack of devil may care element of the responses is so notable to me. And one of my friends was texting me, and who's a Democrat, and they're like, was it always like this? Like, you know, like in, oh, you know, because they're like, because I was sending this TikTok around. Like, was it always like this? And, you know, when you were in college with college Republicans, and I'm like, no, the answer is no, right? Like, I was the college Republican dork. I would go to visit my friends at LSU and Ole Miss, and I would go to these tailgates, and I would, one year I was at Ole Miss, it was an off year, so it was the governor's race, so it was Haley Barbour was running, and like, I was the one wearing the Haley Barbour button and sticker and trying to give it out to the sorority girls, and everybody was like, okay, yeah, I'm probably for Haley Barbour, but like, please don't put your fucking sticker on me. You know what I mean? Like, it was not cool or in vogue. And anyway, I just like, that is an alarming.
And you know why they're
trend.
Like this now, Tim?
Why?
Because they like all
the
of the stuff
yeah.
that we hate.
They like the cat eating stuff. That's
that, what, yeah. that's I mean, and this is why the this it's is so why alarming. This is the future of the Republican Party.
Can I,
the stuff that the good Republicans of the world tisk tisk about is actually the secret sauce.
Yeah.
For some, not in these focus groups, I gotta say. Like, I think for Tim's people,
that's fair.
I, like, there was a
not
guy.
Not for the swing voters.
Like, you would actually, if you watched this group, there was like a dude here. He was probably almost 70, or maybe he's just like, he's in his 60s. And he's like, and he was a Republican. He identified as a Republican, and he kind of sat there, and he had this, he's like a kind of a grumbly way or whatever. And he was like, he was going to vote for Kamala Harris, and he just thought he kept bringing up the pet eating and being like, this is horrible. Look what he's doing to these poor people. And so I actually, when I listen to these people,
did you
I do
tell
not-
him, sir, calm down. Even the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, thinks it's not that bad and that he could still vote for Donald Trump.
I sure didn't. I like doing these in person, though, because you just get certain physical things from people that you don't get in the Zoom focus groups. And like, that guy was interesting to me because you could see how much he like was kind of an old school Republican. And it's why Kamala Harris continues, like, her best performing right now is these sort of college educated suburban voters. But it's also just like old white voters. Like, she is the demographic that I was worried that she would fall with has actually been her strongest performing, which is why I continue to be optimistic based on the fact that Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, too, are just filled with old white people. And they're the ones who just look at this stuff because they were responsible Republicans. It's why he's underperforming. It's why this 9% is there. And am I worried? The people who Trump is getting in the focus groups are actually more like, they're not very tapped in politically. They're not even particularly partisan Republicans. They're just mad at Joe. They blame Joe Biden for what they see. And they all talk at JBL. I pushed back at some point and I talked about the macro economy being good. They like can't, nobody can hear that when they can tell you they're like grocery prices are just out of control. And like housing prices are out of control. And rent. And well, they are, that is what they're experiencing, right? Is just prices that are, and if you live in a state where the prices have, you know, tripled for housing and you can't get from an apartment into a house, or you can't, you know, can't, you're still living with three roommates, like that's what I hear over and over again. They're not the Floridians doing boat parades.
Okay. We got to move on.
Are they door dashing ever? Or are they cooking every day? Are they using HelloFresh?
All right, we were going to talk about the Kamala Harris media blitz. Do we even need to? I did a thing on her Howard Stern thing yesterday. I thought the Howard Stern interview was sensational and the best I've ever seen her. I was super pro. No,
I personally did not watch that. I did consume Call Her Daddy, and I did consume All the Smoke. And shout out to Bill Kristol, just who really was ahead of the game with Call Her Daddy, just kind of being that original member
of
the Daddy Gang.
Sorry, I was out of town. Is this joke real?
No, it's a gag. Obvious gag in the newsletter that Bill Kristol was the original member of the Daddy Gang, and yet
that's like, not an obvious joke, because you may recall that Bill Kristol is IRL friends with Fat Joe.
That's true. So anyway, several, like a Washington Examiner reporter and several right-wing outlet influencers tweeted a screenshot to this thing to be like, this is how far the Never Trumpers have gone. Bill Kristol is a daddy gang member. They have no principles. They don't care about Americans, you know, cultural traditional values. Irving Kristol, I literally saw an Irving Kristol is rolling in his grave tweet to this. It's like, people, take a breath. It's a joke. Anyway, where was I? I watched both of those, and she was great in both those. I'm not surprised she was great in Howard Stern. They should do 100 of them. And like my only complaint about all this is that everybody continues to talk about it as if it's like 2008. And there's a strategic question: should she do Call Her Daddy? Should she do basketball podcast? Should she? Obviously, she should do it. This is how you reach people. It's 2024. Like, just do it. I don't need everybody.
Attractive human being.
She's good and she's natural in these settings.
People will like what she is. So they should just do more. All of the things.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like I'm on the internet or listening to another competitor podcast, and I feel like I'm back at the Glover Park Group, and we're in a brainstorm about what we should do with our client and what interview is best aligned with their brand. And it's like, everybody doesn't need to be a PR specialist. You should just do all of them. More is more, as Sarah knows. So that's my take on this. She's been great.
And the fact that we're not going to pick apart the individual interviews is evidence of why you do lots of them, because then suddenly people are just like, I don't know, she's doing lots of stuff. And like, as long as she's getting out of them without like saying we're gonna, you know, bomb Iran, like, you know, they mostly don't make news.
She did have one bad answer on The View.
It was the not distancing from Biden.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But
it's not a huge.
If she had said she would have done something different, that also would have been a bad answer.
No, it's easy. This is media training. No. Sarah and I know this. It's like, what would you have done differently than Biden? I reject your question. I'll talk about something I would do differently prospectively.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I've got a plan to build 3 million new homes. That's something that we would like to do different. You know, it's just like, just have an answer. Like, it's not that hard. But
all right,
anyway,
so,
besides that, that's a nitpick. Sorry, Sarah, I interrupted you. Do you have any other thoughts on that? Did I steal your thunder?
No, you're good.
All right. The latest turn for MAGA and conservatism is hurricane conspiracy theory and weather controlling stuff, which we all laughed at 2 weeks ago. But I feel like 2 weeks from now will be totally mainstream in the MAGA right.
It's totally mainstream today.
I have a question about the controlling the weather.
Yeah.
Is it Jews that are controlling the weather or is it just Democrats?
I mean,
sometimes I don't
Jewish
know who
Democrats.
They is. I don't know who they is all the time.
Here's my question. Why is it that the MAGAs can't control the weather? Are they too dumb?
Oh, great question.
Are they not smart enough to operate the weather control machine? Does it have too many numbers on the dials for them? I'm so sorry, Cletus. Maybe you should have gone to college. Because that's where we learn to control the weather.
That's a great point, JVL. It's a great point. And it's not that hard, actually, once you learn how to do it. I thought this one, Chuck Edwards put this press release out. Have you read this? He's a Republican congressman from North Carolina. Very long press release debunking all of the shit. But the first line is just worth us talking about. He goes through all the things that are not true about the Hurricane Helene response. The first thing he debunks. Hurricane Helene was not, all caps, geoengineered by the government to seize and access lithium deposits in Chimney Rock. A Republican congressman. A Republican congressman thinks. But like, think about this.
You know what, Sebastian? Leave my first thing in because we are fucked.
Think about the amount of calls he must have gotten from people who believe this.
To merit
having to debunk it. I mean, like, we are laughing, but like. I mean, hundreds of people must believe this. Like, lots of people must, you know, there's this whole other universe out there of that none of us are even aware of. Like, I watch MAGA podcasts. I've never even heard of this before.
Hold on.
Like,
yeah,
and well, so there's a I whole don't... universe of people that are getting things that are, like, even crazier than the shit that I see.
I only heard, I heard chimney rock. I heard lithium.
Yeah.
And what? Hurricane, I, what?
Hurricane
what is,
Helene.
What are they even doing? I don't
Hurricane
even understand
Helene
the words.
Hurricane Helene was not geoengineered
sure.
by the government
sure.
to seize and access lithium deposits in chimney rock. I can't even fathom what this could be.
Is there lithium in my chimney?
Chimney
and is
rock.
It valuable?
Chimney rock is, I guess, a rock.
Do we need to knock down all the chimneys to get it out?
It
so
like
one of the things that interests
outside
me.
Outside of Asheville, between Asheville and
is
Gastonia.
There a lithium shortage? Why
yeah,
do we need it out of the
more,
chimneys?
We could use more lithium for the little batteries.
Oh,
yeah.
for the electric cars.
Yeah,
that's what
the
it
electric
is.
Cars.
The bad electric cars. The good electric cars are made by Elon Musk. Those electric cars are all good electric cars. All the other electric cars are bad electric cars that the government's trying to make you buy.
There's some holes in this theory.
Can
as I think
ask about
it.
Thom Tillis, who put out a statement saying all of these crazy people trying to impugn the disaster response are bad and they should stop. And then like 48 hours later, he was like, to be clear, I meant the Democrats who are trying to make political hay out
somebody
of it.
Somebody got a phone
like
call.
Like a hostage video or something. Which is, the craziest. Like, you know, so you have this normie Republican who comes out to say all of these crazy people should stop this. And then he gets yelled at by MAGA and is like, I meant the crazy Democrats. What is happening? What is happening? He hasn't even won yet. He's losing in the poll. Why can they not just... I mean, what am I saying?
Here's the thing. Like, in seriousness. Like, this hurricane that's about to hit Tampa is going to be fucking awful. Like, it is going to be awful. Like, we don't know how awful, but potentially Katrina level awful. And, like, this is a time when you need people to just act normal and to do your best to help people and to help address, like, the tragedy that is going to unfold from this and help solve problems and be problem solvers and work together and not do politics. And, like, there have been a million of these hurricanes. We all lived through the Sandy and the Chris Christie and Obama thing. Like, it's not that hard. And DeSantis, who, like, played politics with the stupid Kamala Harris thing where I won't take her call, that was really dumb. But he like feels like he has to do that, I guess, to be tough for Fox. But like, if you watch the rest of his press conference, it's like totally normal. You know, like they're trying to resolve it. If you watch Brian Kemp and Glenn Youngkin's press conferences, they're totally normal. It's like, it's just Trump and Vance and the crazy MAGA media world that are advancing all this. But like, none of the people that are responsible like are willing to like say, guys, stop. Stop. This is bad.
Yeah.
This is hurting people in my community.
But this is an advantage for the Republicans,
and it's your fault.
Right? They get to have it both ways. They get to turn out their flat earthers and to rile that base up, and they then get to have the normie Republicans are like, oh, see, you know, like we're just doing the normal stuff.
I know.
Nothing to see here. It's a huge advantage when you can be schizophrenic like that as a party, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, yes, it also hurts them. I mean, like, it does hurt them with some category of regular people. But yeah, it is also an advantage.
That is the one thing I'll say is sometimes when we say that there's no consequence or when we're like, these things didn't matter.
It relates
I think
to the 9%.
We should remember that it has mattered, right? They have lost every election over the last three cycles, not by enough. But it's not that it doesn't matter. It has mattered to a critical number of people. And I think we have yet to see whether or not. I mean, this will be our first test. And this is why so much of 2024, I think the reason I'm almost more anxious about 2024 than I was about 2020 is that 2020, it was a lot about Trump. 2024 is about us as a country, right? We will decide if a president, you know, Tom Nichols has a long piece in The Atlantic about Washington, and it's wonderful, and you guys should go read it. It's about leadership.
You've read Tom Nichols's long read Atlantic cover story. That's interesting.
I read everything JV wrote. I read everything JVL wrote while I was away. His piece on the unified theory.
Had a pretty good piece
theory,
yesterday. I don't know if you
the unified
saw
theory
that.
Of Kamala's. That was so good. I tweeted about it. I talk about it.
Did you?
Yeah. What was I doing? I was doing some kind of interview where I talked about it. Anyway, I thought it was excellent, JVL. But so is Tom Nichols' piece about George Washington and the peaceful transfer of power. So, like, if we elect Donald Trump, that says something enormous about us.
Yeah. When I say they don't pay a price, what I mean is that they don't pay a price at holding on to the power they have. And the power they have is control of one of our two political parties. Right?
Right.
And this is, and so long as we live
and
in
probably
a universe,
at minimum control of one chamber of Congress next
right.
year.
Yeah.
So long as we live in a universe where these people get to get as many bites at the apple of democracy as they want, like, it's not sustainable. Right, you can't do this where every single election it's like one healthy party against one authoritarian party. Like, that's
yeah, you can't
you
do
know,
it
at some
for...
point they have to. You can't do it indefinitely. All right, we got to talk because Tim, after we finish the show, you are going to go and have a conversation with one of the good Republicans, one of the guys who's just a straight shooter, tells it like it is, Representative Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah, I don't want to waste too much time on this because this is one of those that I'll believe it when it happens type situations. So, but it's supposed to be here right after we finish taping. I'm supposed to go sit down with Dan Crenshaw. And so Sarah and I used to media train each other. So I was just kind of thinking maybe we could end with Sarah. Do you have any thoughts, any advice for me? I think my biggest worry about myself when I reflected, it's on Piers Morgan again. My last exchange with Piers Morgan, people really liked who saw the clips. But over the whole course of the interview, I get very agitated.
Oh, yeah.
And Crenshaw is chill. Crenshaw is all like almost to the point of nihilism at times.
Yes.
Like when I've watched some of his other interviews where he's like, how could you get so riled up about this stupid lie that Donald Trump's telling? It's not a big deal. And I get very agitated. So like that's my self-criticism. But I'll take any other thoughts you guys have for my exchange with Dan Crenshaw.
You don't have to self-criticize so much as you have to, you know, demonstrate self-control in this. That's right. You're voicing this so that you control yourself
yeah,
in this environment because you don't want him to look chill while you look agitated.
Yeah.
Here's a thought is to put that out there right away. The fact that he seems chill and that you like if I was like your opening could be, you know, Dan, I watch you in these interviews. And one of the things I admire about you is that, you know, you're always so calm and always so chill about this. I have a difficult time maintaining my chill because I see the insurrection as so wrong and so troubling that I get agitated about it. I see Trump's relationship with Putin it's so wrong, so crazy. And I constantly feel like we're underreacting. So tell me, Congressman, how do you stay so relaxed in the face of this takeover of the Republican Party by this maniac?
That's a good thought. Good thought. That's a good thought for an intro. You know, kind of lead with your weakness.
Lead with your weakness. And also, you know, I think call the audience's attention immediately to what you see as a strength of his, but is actually his nihilism, right? You just pointed it out. And I think if you put that out right at the beginning, you draw the audience's attention to the fact that this guy remains placid in the face of evil.
That's good. JVL, do you have any thoughts for me?
I mean, none that are useful.
Okay, give me an unuseful thought. Oh, Sarah, you have a useful thought?
I have more.
Okay, go.
Then you should take Sarah's useful thoughts.
Well, one of the things I would say that that has enraged me both or most listening to Dan Crenshaw is the way that he shit on Liz Cheney, somebody who he obviously knows is right.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a little discussion with him about Liz why he thinks that that's so wrong. Because I do think right now there's the category. So there's Liz, right, and Adam Kinzinger, who are out there, Jeff Flake, actively supporting Kamala Harris. And then there's Mitt Romney, our boy Mitt, who is doing the weirdest possible thing, which is to say, you know who I'm voting for. I told you how I feel about Trump, but I can't say it, like literally verbalizing, but I can't say it because it will diminish my influence in the Republican Party. And I just want to be like, oh, buddy, you don't have any influence left in the Republican Party. That's just in order for you to have any influence in a better version of the Republican Party, this one's got to get decimated. So do what you can to help beat it. I don't understand what you're talking about. Your rationale makes no sense. But okay, you got your mitts, yeah, right? The people who won't endure, and even this is sort of your Kellys and your Madison. Okay. Yeah. But then you got your Crenshaws. And I'm not sure between the mitts and the Crenshaws, I still think the Crenshaws make me the angriest.
Oh, yeah.
Which are just the people who absolutely know better, who feel exactly the same way Liz does, but has decided actively that they are going to shit on Liz. Because this is the thing, right? The anti-antis do to us. Yeah. If we didn't exist, they'd have to invent us.
That's how they butch up.
Shitting on us is right. How they stay on side, yeah, right? And right. And that's what
Which
Crenshaw
is, I think,
does.
Why he agreed to do this. I keep wondering why Dan Crenshaw agreed to do this. But it's like he thinks that like it butches him up to attack
yes.
me,
yeah.
I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing is, it's definitely him worse. Because then the worst part about those guys, the thing that makes me the most mad that I'm just going to have to breathe, and stay and keep my points in is like he pretends to get kind of mad about like Democratic stuff, right? Like you'll bring up the assault on the Capitol and be like, you know, I was bad. It was a bad day, but there are other things. And then it'll be like, Kamala said that the Israeli
Her
people
price
are
controls
ally.
Are yeah. terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, Kamala said that Israeli people are ally and not Bibi. And that enrages me because we need to be shoulder to shoulder with you. And it's like, okay, come on. All right, so that's the stuff that gets me. But we'll see. Hopefully he does it. We'll see how it goes.
Ask about Ukraine. No, he's supposed to be a staunch ally of Ukraine. What does he think of Putin's, all the phone calls Daddy Trump's making to Putin? Is that alarming? Are we alarmed?
I might try to bring
Dan Crenshaw?
What do you think about when Trump stood next to Zelensky and talked about what a great relationship he has with Vladimir Putin?
It did seem strange.
Is Dan okay with that? Maybe ask Dan about sending the COVID tests to Putin. Is that a thing he would have done?
I think he's going to say that it's fake. I've been thinking about this. I think that
the Russians have said it's true.
The Russians have confirmed fake news. Yeah, Woodward fake news. That's
well,
what I, would, that's
I mean,
what
if
I would
that's
do.
His. See, so this is my advice, which is not useless, which is a show like fucking Piers Morgan. Yeah. Who cares? I would just sit back and be totally based and act in all the ways that you actually can't act on television and make them like cut the interview. Just sit back and be like, you know, while Crenshaw is talking, be like, look at this fucking guy. This is ludicrous. Piers, how can you even let this fucking asshole on your airwaves? Just like total, you know, like, oh, you don't like that? You want to cut this? Great.
This
cut
is
it.
Something for me to
I
think
don't care.
About. All right. This is a strategy for me to think about. I got to go.
Based.
I got to go.
Based
go
Tim.
Shower. All right. Good thoughts, both of you.
I like how you shower for Dan Crenshaw, but not for us.
Hell yeah. No, not for Dan Crenshaw. I want, you know, I want to look. If he's going to be in a suit, you know, I can't be in my 2012 faded LSU SEC
exactly
championship.
What you
team.
Should be in. Okay. Don't make it look like you dressed up for Dan Crenshaw.
That's a good point. Okay, you guys are giving me a lot
Power
to think
move.
About. A lot to think about.
Power move. All right, guys, good show. Incredibly long show. We'll be back next week. The timer on our democracy keeps counting down. We'll be at 3 weeks left next time. Can't wait.
Come see us in the Philly and Pittsburgh and Detroit, guys. Bye.
Good luck, America.